Good morning. Welcome to this historic church on this glorious Easter Sunday morning. I say greetings to you Easter people. Would you please prepare your hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation, which you will find on the top inside of your bulletin. My organist. There are several announcements you might want to check in the bulletin, particularly your calendar and the dedication of the Easter lilies and for whom they are listed. You might also want to note that the church office will be closed tomorrow to give the staff a little bit of a break after all the services they had last week and, of course, the preparation for today. I also want to call your attention to two of the major meetings that will take place next week. One is the women's group that will have a unit meeting. They will be learning about the reading program. All of the women of the church are cordially invited to attend. It will be on Monday night in the fellowship hall. And also the men's club, the Tuesday, the 17th of April, they will be having a very special program. Dr. Mims Mobley is the resident Harry Truman authority, and he will be discussing Harry Truman. And I have seen him perform the play that he actually wrote, the monologue that he actually wrote about Harry Truman, and it is delightful. It is very insightful and informative. So we urge all of the men to be sure and come, and I think there may be some of us women who ask if we can't slip in and hear the program too, because Dr. Mobley is really outstanding. I think that's about it. We don't want to take up too much time of the service. I'm Mary Lynn Polk, the lay leader, and again, I want to say thank you for coming to Main Street, and may you have a very blessed Easter day. Please continue to prepare your hearts and minds for worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ. Thank you.
Will please stand for the call to worship. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
Hallelujah.
We are illumined by the brightness of his rising.
Hallelujah.
Death has met its master, and the door to heaven is opened. Alleluia. The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Thank you. Let us pray together the invocation you will find printed in your order of service. Mighty and gracious God, you raised Christ Jesus from the dead and raised us with him also, that we may have life in him. Give us words to praise you and songs to sing of Christ's glorious resurrection. Keep safe in us the witness of those who ate and drank with their risen Lord, that we may eat and drink with him at your resurrection table. Upon each person gathered here, let your blessings rest. Renew your church in this place and throughout the world as your people assemble in praise and gratitude for this resurrection day. In the name of the risen Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's gospel lesson comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." And then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled in a place up by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the other disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Let us join our hearts and minds together in an attitude of prayer. Gracious God, as we gather in this place on this holy day, we join our voices of praise and gratitude with that of our brothers and sisters around the world. As the chorus sweeps our earth, Alleluia, Christ is risen. We thank you for all that you have done in us and through us, among us and on behalf of us, in your great sacrificial love in Jesus Christ. This morning as we gather, we open our hearts before you. We pray for those who need the healing touch of your power even this day, upon bodies, upon spirits, upon lives. And we know that in your power, all things can be accomplished. Pour your Spirit upon us afresh in these days, as we walk again with our risen Christ, and he with us. Hear our prayer, for we make it in his name, who taught us to pray together, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. As our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings. Thank you. Gracious God, bless these gifts of our hands and use them according to your holy purposes. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. We invite the children to the front for the children's message.
Good morning. Happy Easter, everybody. Y'all can come closer because there's people coming in behind you. So scoot in a little closer. So last week, Miss Myra had everybody shouting and yelling in the sanctuary, so it's going to be really hard to beat that this week, but I'm going to try my best. So this is an exciting day for our church and for we as Jesus followers, because what are we celebrating today?
Easter,
but yes, Christ is risen. And when somebody says Christ is risen, do you know what you're supposed to say back? Alleluia. Yeah, you can say alleluia, but there's something I'm thinking of in particular. What? Yes. So if I say, Christ is risen, then you're going to say, Christ is risen indeed. Yeah. We're not going to yell that right now, though. Do y'all remember, if y'all were at the children's celebration this morning, some of you might have made this little caterpillar. Do y'all remember? Congregation. I'll do it up high so you can see what they made, too. This is a caterpillar that the children made this morning in their children's Easter celebration. And this caterpillar really says a lot about what today is. Do you know why? It has so many colors, yeah. We could celebrate, you know, how colorful it is. And I don't know. We're all wearing bright colors. There you go. What happens to a caterpillar? It turns into a butterfly, yeah. Butterfly's colorful too, yeah. Will you hold the microphone for me while I do this? Hold it close to my mouth. Hold it close. Okay. So, hold it up closer, like right here. There you go. Okay. Thanks. So we've got our caterpillar here, and when a caterpillar is ready to turn into a butterfly, it goes into a cocoon, right? So, or chrysalis. It's been a long time since I've taken science in elementary school. Okay, mini science lesson for you, okay? So, we're going to put it in the cocoon, right? And then it wraps up. It gets wrapped up, right? So, we're going to wrap this up. I'll try to do this fast. All right, so we're wrapping it up. Wrapping up the sides, right? Does this look like a chrysalis? Kind of? Okay, well, I'm doing my best, so bear with me, okay? All right. So wrapping this up. I know that looks pretty sad, right? All right. So then, so the caterpillar goes in there, and it's wrapped up. That looks like a white cloth, doesn't it? Yeah. So then, after a certain amount of time, do you know how long a caterpillar is in there? I have no idea, but I'm just wondering if you know. So then, it opens, right? So, right, it goes asleep for a while, yeah. And then it opens, so I'm going to try to open this. And then the caterpillar comes out. Wait a second. It's empty. Where did it go?
It
didn't fall out. Isn't this what happened when they opened the tomb? To find Jesus? But he wasn't in there? Right? So they wrapped Jesus in cloth and laid him in a tomb. And when they went to go check on him, he wasn't there. He was gone. He's not in there. But then what happens? Then Jesus appeared, didn't he? Right? And he turned into a butterfly? No, he didn't turn into a butterfly. But the caterpillar did. Isn't this a new life for the caterpillar? It's a life cycle, yeah. But doesn't Jesus bring us new life? Because he rose from the dead, that is hope for us. Because Jesus gives us hope to have a new life. So Christ is risen. Okay, let's try this a little bit better and get the whole congregation involved now. Myra, especially you up there. Okay, so everybody stand up and face the congregation. And we're going to say Christ is risen, and we'll see if the congregation can follow along and say, Christ is risen indeed. Are you ready? Ready? We're going to say Christ is risen, and they're going to say Christ is risen indeed. One, two, three. Christ is risen!
Christ is risen indeed!
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for new life in you. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross so that he can rise again and help us to rise to meet him, God. We just pray all of this in your son's name, and all of God's children said, Amen.
It is such a small detail in that whole wonderful, familiar, sweeping story of resurrection that we heard read from John's Gospel this morning. Such a small detail. While it was still dark, that we almost miss it. But in a very real way, perhaps it is the most important part of the Easter story. If I ask you what you associated with Easter, you might respond like the children did this morning in a whole variety of different ways. Maybe you would talk about light and joy, the glory of the Easter flowers, the incredible beauty and majesty of the music we've experienced this morning, the warming weather, the dogwoods, the azaleas, all those things that you gave up for Lent that you now get to go home and feast on as soon as we're finished with worship. But that's not where the Easter story begins. It begins in the darkness of the early morning with a woman going to mourn at the tomb of the one who had given her life new meaning. The light of her life went out when Jesus was arrested and beaten and crucified. If you've been bereaved, if you've lost a job, if a relationship has died, if you've suffered some irreparable loss, you know what that feels like. Grief isn't specific. Grief doesn't affect us just when we think about the person or the thing that we have lost. Everything on earth seems out of kilter, and nothing seems right. The whole world is dark while we grieve, while we wait. That's how Mary was feeling when she came to the tomb. It's still dark, dark outside, dark inside, and nothing now can ever come to any good. But when she arrives, she finds something perplexing. The stone has been rolled away and the tomb is empty. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, although yet she does not understand what that means. All this has happened while it was still dark. Resurrection happens in the middle of the night, not with the rising of the sun. It happens when we're not expecting it. Not when we're looking for it. It happens to Mary and to others while they're still sunk in that deepest gloom. It happens when all is lost, when Jesus has been dead 3 days, when perhaps they have begun to adjust to the thought of life without Him in it. When they've started to accept that their hopes of deliverance were false. Yet all the while they are feeling these things. As they sit huddled in misery in an upper room with a door locked and bolted behind them in fear, something great and wonderful is happening. Like that caterpillar that is slowly turning into that butterfly, like the seed that germinates in the dark where no one can see it, life has begun to defeat death. God does mysterious and holy things in the darkness of our lives. When Mary comes to the tomb, while it's still dark, resurrection has happened. Christ has returned from his dark journey and burst forth into the new life that God has prepared for him and invites us to enter along with him. You may have come here this morning not feeling at all ready for Easter. For you, it might still be dark. The light and the joy of the Easter celebrations may make that darkness only feel darker. But you see, it's not our celebrations that cause resurrection. It's not the music and the flowers and the sermons that raised Christ. It's not putting on a brave face that gives us life. Rather, it's in those moments when we allow ourselves to feel and to face that hopelessness and that doubt and that fear. It's in those moments when we're ready to let go of our own efforts that resurrection begins. Looking back, that's when we discover, in the darkness, we've already begun that journey to new life. Jesus tells us that it's in the grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies that new life comes forth, stronger and more deeply rooted than the old one. And the message of the gospel is that this happens not when we are ready, when we have managed to struggle out of the darkness by our own efforts, but while it is still dark. Christ is not the light at the end of the tunnel. Christ is the light in the tunnel with us. Resurrection is something that happens to you and to me, not just at the moment of our last breath here on earth, but over and over and over again. It's the wonderful discovery that although we thought hope was dead and buried, though we thought all was lost, though it is dark and we think it always will be, God has other ideas for us. Beneath the surface of our lives, His new life is germinating and is growing. And at some moment, probably the moment we least expect it, it will burst forth. Every time this happens in my life, I'm surprised all over again to discover that what I feel like was the end of the world was just a gateway into a new beginning. The empty cross upon which we look today reminds us always that the worst thing is never the last thing. Today and in the days to come, we're invited to see Christ, to find Him in our own lives. He stands in those places where for us it may still be dark, calling our names, waiting for us to recognize Him, until we see that resurrection has already happened for us and new life has begun. Thanks be to God who gives us this victory through our Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you please turn with me in your order of service as we prepare to share the banquet at the resurrection table.
In the name of the living God, in the name of the victorious Christ, in the name of the mysterious Spirit, come to the table where bread is broken and wine poured out. Receive the life of God, share the victory of Christ, and enter into the mystery of the Spirit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us pray. Loving Father, living God, it is right and appropriate and our joyful duty always and everywhere to give you thanks, especially today when we greet our risen Lord. We praise you, God, for all that you have done for us in Christ. We praise you for his life through which he showed your love, for his victory over evil, and his obedience which took him to the cross, for his triumph over death, and for his coming to be our living Lord. We do not come to this table through our own merit or worthiness. We come today in joyful celebration of Christ's victory over death and acknowledging Christ as our Passover, our Paschal Lamb. We praise you for this bread and this wine through which we remember, through which our faith and hope are renewed, through which we receive the power of your Spirit and share in the fellowship of your undying love. Honor and glory and praise be to you, living God, there and everywhere, now and forever. Amen. The bread we break is the bread of life. The cup we share is the cup of promise. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come and eat, the banquet awaits. With those who are assisting, come first. benediction. The choir will be singing the majestic Hallelujah chorus, and you are invited to sing along as well. After that, we invite you to turn and greet each other in the name of our risen Christ. Those who came to mourn found an empty tomb. Those who came weeping left dancing for joy. Go in peace, for you have found life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Alleluia. Glory be to God the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. God's name be praised. Alleluia.